A voice on the phone tells Mabel that if she doesn't act quickly, a close relative could end up in jail. Miss Maple Mysteries, Episode 5, Maid of Orleans. There was a crooked man, and he went a crooked mile. He found a crooked sixpence against a crooked stile. He bought a crooked cat, which caught a crooked mouse, and they all lived together in a little crooked house. It was late August. My grass needed cutting, but Environment Canada advised older persons to avoid working or exercising outdoors. The unseasonably warm heat wave, 32 degrees Celsius, felt like 40 with the Humidex. My construction worker friend, Miles Stanhope, had mown the lawn a few times recently, but he must have landed a real job because I hadn't heard from him in a while. Besides, it was Tuesday, time for another of Sylvana's cleanings, and I was looking forward to chatting with her over a cup of coffee beforehand. Sylvana started doing my place when I worked at the Treasury Board. I didn't see much of her then, but I loved coming home to a sparkling house. I missed that when I let her go after I retired, and I missed it even more during the long, lonely lockdown. One day, out of the blue, she called to say that she'd lost a lot of clients over the pandemic, and was I interested in having her back? I said yes, as much for the company as the cleaning. We weren't exactly friends at that point, but we grew closer after an incident involving another client of hers, the well-known artist Genevieve Lancaster. Now Maggie May barked, beside herself with excitement, as I answered the doorbell, opening the door on a wall of heat. "Good morning," I said. "You look nice." Sylvana came in, carrying her mop and pail into the vestibule, as I reached behind her to shut out the humid, sauna-like outdoor air. As usual, she wore a long t-shirt over black leggings, but today they were stylishly accessorized, with dangly earrings, red lipstick, and stiletto heels. She gave me a brief but radiant smile and an even briefer shrug. "I have a date later on." "Really? And what's his or her name?" She slipped out of her heels, blew her bangs off her hot forehead, rolled her short sleeves up to bare her shoulders, and smiled again. "His. Richard Lord." I followed her and the dog through the living room into the kitchen, which overlooks the sadly scruffy lawn that was my backyard. "Ooh, sounds rich. Where did you meet him?"
"Online. He messaged me on Facebook."
She bent down to nuzzle the pooch. "And where's the date?"
"Also online," she said, reaching into the broom closet for the vacuum cleaner. "I don't need to change my clothes. Just up my game a bit around the head and shoulders, eh?"
"Yes, very nice. And the feet?"
She looked down and wiggled her bare toes, admiring the fire engine red nail polish. "My feet? Oh, the shoes and the pedi. I don't know. I just feel sexier wearing high heels."
"Would you like some coffee before you start?"
"No, thanks. I'm full of energy. I just want to get at that dusting."
I was about to reply when my cell phone chimed. Maggie May barked at it, then trailed after Sylvana as she carried the vacuum and her bucket of dusting cloths and furniture polish into the living room. I had just put on a pot of coffee, so I put the phone on the table in speaker mode while I reached for a cup. "Hello?" The youthful voice on the other end whispered,
"Grandma, is that you?"
I paused.
"Angus? You don't sound like yourself."
"Well, it's me, Grandma. I just have a bit of a cold. How are you?"
I filled my cup, added skim milk, and sat down at the table, admiring my freshly painted kitchen, dark blue with white trim. Genevieve, the lovely, lonely artist, helped choose the colors, and Miles, the between jobs builder, did the work.
"I'm just fine, dear. So nice to hear from my favorite grandson. How are your parents?"
"They're good.
"Did your dad get his boat fixed?"
Yeah, it's running really well. We were out in it last weekend."
I sipped my warm brew And your mom? Did she get over that little cough she had?
Yeah, she's fine now.
How about the ear infection? Has that cleared up?
Yes, Grandma, everyone's fine. But I need a favor.
Anything, dear. What can I do? His voice wavered.
Promise you won't tell Dad?
I leaned into the phone. Angus, honey, what's going on?
Please, Grandma, I'd rather Mom and Dad didn't know about this. Can you keep it a secret, just the two of us, please?
Of course, dear. Tell me what's wrong.
Well, I might need to borrow some money.
How much money?
I'm going to let you speak to the police officer. He'll explain everything.
Police? Angus, is everything all right? Angus! A new voice came on the line, deeper and more mature.
Hello. Who am I speaking to?
My name is Mabel Maple. Is my grandson all right?
Well, Miss Maple, I'm Officer Perkins from the Ottawa Police Services, and I'm sorry to tell you that your grandson was in a serious car accident last night.
A car accident? Oh, my Lord! Was he hurt?
At the sound of my voice, Maggie May bounded into the kitchen and whimpered at my knee. Sylvana came in, her face full of concern, and crouched down to keep the dog quiet. The older man cleared his throat.
No, ma'am, he's fine, and the other driver is fine, too, but the other car is totaled, and I'm afraid I'm going to have to charge Angus with dangerous driving and incarcerate him.
In the background, we could hear sniffling, and the young voice wavered.
They're going to put me in jail, Grandma. I'm scared.
Angus, honey, hang on, dear. Officer Perkins, what can I do?
Well, ma'am, we can let him out on his own recognizance if he can post a $3,000 bond. Would you be able to help him with that?
I don't have anything like that kind of cash on hand. Would a check do?
Well, yes, I suppose we could make arrangements to accept a check.
I'll bring it to the police station right away. The one on Elgin Street, right? Who do I make it out to?
Well, look, I'm going to be in your neighborhood, so I could save you a trip. There's a numbered company you can make it payable to. I'll make sure it gets to where it needs to go.
You'll do that? Oh, Officer Perkins, I'm so grateful.
Well, Angus strikes me as a good kid, and I don't want him in the system.
Can I talk to him again?
He's in a holding cell for now, but I'll let him know that you're going to sort it all out for him. And I'll swing by your place within an hour to pick it up.
Thank you, officer. I'll send you my address.
Perfect. Are you able to send a text to this phone?
Yes, I think I can manage that.
Good. And I'll shoot you the payee number.
The call ended. Sylvana stood up, her mouth open. Your grandson was in a car accident? You have a grandson? You never even said you had children. A police officer is coming over? I hope you don't mind that I listened. Are you feeling faint? Should I make tea? Tea is better for you than coffee when you've had a shock. Tea with lots of sugar. No, I'm fine, just writing this text. I don't know how young people type so quickly on these little screens. You're in shock. Angus is so lucky he has you to get him out of trouble. I know, some would say tough love. Let him rot in jail, face the consequences. But meanwhile, there he is, associating with all those criminals and drug dealers. Honor among thieves, they say. Well, I say there's no such thing. You can't trust anyone these days. My cousin was telling me about something called a sweetheart scam, and it made me so mad. I finally managed to hit send and looked up. Your cousin? Why, what did she say? Sylvana grabbed the broom and swept the kitchen floor with a vengeance. She's just jealous, just because she happens to be between boyfriends. Well, I've been between boyfriends for 15 years. I work hard and I deserve to be happy. You do, Sylvana, you really do. People are better together. Romeo and Juliet, Samson and Delilah, Miles and Genevieve. Wait, what? Miles and Genevieve? How do you... Sylvana beamed. I clean for Genevieve. Oh, I said, my heart lifting. I'm so happy for them. Me too, she said. Her eyes sparkled. Then she frowned. And no offense, but there's more to life than cleaning other people's toilets, eh? None taken, but I will say that you're the best cleaner I've ever had. She stopped sweeping and sat down across from me. Thanks. I take pride in my work. But Richard really could be the one.
After a brief pause, she suddenly said, "What is a sweetheart scam, anyway?"
I tried to answer carefully. "From what I've heard, someone sweeps you off your feet, tells you you're beautiful, says they love you on the first date."
"What's wrong with that?"
"Then they shower you with flowers and gifts." She smiled. "Yeah." "Then they come up with a terrible sob story and ask for money."
"What kind of sob story?"
"Oh, I don't know. Their child desperately needs an operation they can't afford."
"Right."
"They don't want to miss out on a once-in-a-lifetime investment opportunity."
"Okay."
"They're dying to come visit you, so could you please send money for airfare?"
Sylvana picked up my empty coffee cup and rinsed it in the sink, her back to me.
"Or maybe their truck broke down, all their tools were stolen, and they don't have insurance, but they have a really important job lined up that could earn them a lot of money."
"That kind of thing, yes." She put the cup in the dish drainer and turned around.
"Richard is just a really great guy who's had some bad luck. We have a real connection. He'll pay me back."
"Sylvana, did you write him a check?" She nodded.
"For? $10,000.
I gasped.
"Where did you get that kind of money?"
Sylvana scratched an imaginary bit of dirt off the counter beside the sink.
She looked like a guilty kid in the principal's office.
"I got a bank loan," she admitted. "I told them I wanted to start my own cleaning business, hire other cleaners, book jobs for them. The bank manager really liked my business plan."
I picked my jaw up off the floor and said, "Has Richard asked for anything else?"
"He sends me real estate ads. He wants us to buy a house together."
"Have you got a picture of him?"
"Sure, here he is on Facebook."
She opened the app and passed me her phone.
"Look, it says he loves puppies and hot chocolate, just like me, my two favorite things. That's why I answered his message."
"Let's just do a quick reverse photo search."
"What's that?"
"It's the way the internet can search for his picture and see what else turns up." I kept talking as I took the steps. Google, images, upload photo, and search. She looked over my shoulder as the internet worked its magic. 10 different dating sites came up, and I flicked through them.
"Oh my God," she said. "He must have been so lonely before he met me. He's using the same picture, the same description."
"And different names," I said. "Rich Earl, Rick Duke, Ricardo Castillo, Richie King."
"Funny there's no Dick or Dickie," howled Sylvana, aka his real name. "What's in the comments?"
"Lost my house because of him," I read softly. "He stole my grandmother's ring." I stopped reading. "There's more, but we get the idea."
"We get the idea that he's nothing but a big fat weasel."
Maggie Mae barked and tried to jump up on her. Sylvana buried her face in the fluffy white fur. "I'm so sorry, Sylvana," I said. Maggie Mae whined.
"It's okay. Not your fault."
I wasn't sure if she was talking to me, the dog, or herself. Then suddenly she rallied.
"Have you sent that text to Officer Perkins yet?"
"Yes, but I could always send another one." Sylvana grinned from ear to ear.
"Let's invite the weasel over at the same time so Officer Perkins can arrest him."
"Can you get him here so soon?"
She patted her back pocket.
"Oh yeah, baby, yes I can."
"How?" She took a small paper rectangle out of her pocket, unfolded it, and said triumphantly,
"I wrote the check, but I haven't given it to him yet."
We had a few things to do to get ready for our guests. We decided to lock Maggie Mae downstairs.
"She doesn't need to have anything to do with the weasel ever," said Sylvana,
and I agreed. Then Sylvana wanted to give the place a good cleaning, especially the main floor. The basement could wait. She also wanted to bake some bread.
to make the place smell like home. He won't suspect a thing. Also, to make him sorry for what he's missed out on when he messed with me.
Bread would take too long, though, so we settled on crybaby cookies, which she got into the oven in such good time that she said she had time to do the downstairs after all. While she was vacuuming the storage, laundry, and craft rooms, I followed up on some arrangements of my own. The outside air smelled heavy and oppressive as I opened the door to a well-built, tanned fellow in his mid to late 40s, with hazel eyes, an appealing, self-deprecating smile, and thick, slightly overlong brown hair, a little gray at the temples. "Hello, Richard. I'm Mabel," I said. "Come in. It's so nice to meet you. Sylvana's just taking some crybaby cookies out of the oven."
"Oh, smells wonderful."
He held my hand with a soulful gaze.
"Mabel, I'm so happy to be finally getting to know Sylvana's wonderful friends."
I waved at a couple of neighbors, two beautiful young sisters, a teen and a child in matching yellow sundresses, paraded by under a pink parasol, just as a car passed them and turned into my driveway. "You go ahead right on into the kitchen," I said, "while I talk to this nice policeman." He kept smiling, but his eyebrows went up.
"Nice policeman."
"You'd never know it by the car, would you? I mean, even unmarked cars are usually sedans, not beat-up old hatchbacks."
Mabel,"
he said kindly,
"are you in some kind of trouble?"
"No, just helping my grandson out of a scrape. Sylvana will tell you all about it. Officer Perkins seems like a really great guy. I bet he'd like some cookies, too."
Do you have a back door?"
"Of course, off the kitchen."
"Thanks."
He patted the pocket of his dark green short-sleeved linen shirt and paused to lock eyes with me as he moved past.
"I wouldn't want to be smoking in your beautiful house."
The way he said it implied that he could be a smoking hot date just for me. And heaven help me, my heart skipped a beat. "Very considerate," I managed. "I'll just see if I can find the key to the back door." That checked his progress.
"It's locked?"
"Oh, you know, we single old ladies can't be too careful. Here's Officer Perkins now." Richard Lord disappeared into the kitchen while I greeted Officer Perkins, so I missed seeing Sylvana's eyes flash when she finally met her Romeo. Officer Perkins was younger and thinner than I expected, with messy dark hair and intense eyebrows. He wasn't wearing a uniform or even the classic TV detective's shabby suit. "Officer Perkins, I'm Mabel Maple. You must be some kind of undercover cop, are you? Judging by your clothes." He smiled, fingered the black stubble on his chin, tugged the gold stud in his ear, and looked down at his dark jeans, navy hoodie sweatshirt, way too warm for the day, and scuffed runners.
"Yeah, this is what I wear to, you know, blend in."
"Please come in. I can't tell you how much I appreciate what you're doing for Angus, and driving out all this way."
He looked at his watch.
Have you got the check?"
"Would you like some tea? My friend Sylvana made some crybaby cookies that are just to die for."
"Actually, I'm a bit pressed for time, so if you could just give me the check."
"Yes, yes," I said, "of course. My checkbook's in the kitchen. I wasn't sure if there was any tax, so I didn't fill it all in yet. I'm a bit wobbly on my feet, and I find it hard to write standing up. Could you come in and sit with me to help with that numbered account and all the amounts?"
He looked around, took a minute, then made up his mind.
"I guess I could do that,"
he said, and pushed past me toward the kitchen.
"Great. Go ahead in and help yourself to a cookie while I lock the door." He looked back.
Lock the door?"
"Got to keep the bad guys out, don't we? Don't you police officers recommend locks on all our doors and windows and smoke detectors on every floor?"
"Well, that would be the fire department, I think."
I managed a little laugh. "Of course, silly me. Go in, go in. I want you to meet someone."
In the kitchen, Richard Lord had Sylvana pressed up against the kitchen door and was moving in for a kiss. "Wow," I thought, "this guy doesn't waste time." They broke apart as we entered. Sylvana was doing her best to keep up our little charade. The smile she gave him was a little forced, but the look she gave me spoke volumes of repressed annoyance. Richard hooked his arm around her shoulders.
This little lady is one in a million. A dream come true.
Richard Lord, I said, I'd like you to meet Officer Perkins.
Here to arrest you, you weasel, said Sylvana.
Officer Perkins held up his hands and stepped away.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not on duty.
He stopped and looked around. And you don't have your handcuffs? I asked, sweetly.
No, I
held up my hand. Say no more, because here, I said, opening the door into the small room off the kitchen that doubles as an office and dining room, is a real police officer, Detective Charlie Egan, who has everything he needs to arrest you both. Sylvana picked up a rolling pin to wield in case things got ugly, but the ensuing events were anticlimactic. The real name of Richard Ricardo Richie Rick, a.k.a. The Weasel, was Stephen Moore. Charlie's friends at the Ottawa Police Fraud Squad uncovered arrest warrants for him dating back 2 decades. A serial scam artist who had cheated women out of $1.8 million altogether. He went away for a long time. Officer Perkins was really Jeremy Jojo Fielding, a small-time con man just starting out. They eventually connected him to 6 other grandparent scams, plus a few break-and-enters, and 1 convenience store robbery. The OPS officers were very happy to have nabbed them both. Charlie was also happy to eat the rest of the crybaby cookies.
But how did you know that Officer Perkins was lying? Asked Sylvana later that day when we sat in my beautiful new kitchen for 1 last cup of tea before she left.
It was too hot to sit outside, and the unkempt lawn wasn't very welcoming anyway.
What about your grandson Angus having to spend a night in jail? And how did Perkins know his name was Angus?
I don't know anyone called Angus. I don't have any grandchildren. He only latched onto the name Angus after I used it.
No boat? No ear infection?
I made all that up to reel him in. I knew it was a scam as soon as I heard the word grandma. Mary Rogers, my old supervisor at the Treasury Board, almost fell for that a few years ago. She was on her way to the bank to get money for her grandson Gavin when she remembered that he always called her Nana, not Grandma.
So you reeled the creep in, hook, line, and stinker.
I think the expression is hook, line, and sinker. Sylvana wagged her index finger.
Not in this case.
I smiled, but Sylvana frowned.
Why didn't you tell me Officer Perkins was a fake?
Because you had enough to think about.
With my own fake, weasel, she nodded. Plus, you didn't want me to hit him with the rolling pin.
No, but I'm glad to know you can defend yourself.
Yeah, well, I guess I'll give that $10,000 back to the bank.
Yes, although...
What, you got some swampland in Florida I should buy?
No, nothing like that. But the bank manager liked your business idea, and so do I.
You think I should go for it?
Well, maybe. Let's talk it out.
What if we include other services, like washing windows and cutting grass?
Sold. And that, ladies and gentlemen, was the beginning of Maid of Orleans, one of the most successful cleaning enterprises in the East End of Ottawa. Thanks for listening to Maid of Orleans, Episode 5 of Miss Maple Mysteries, written and performed by Kathy McClellan, with production and some voices by John Nolan. Our company is Rag and Bone Puppet Theatre, and you can visit our website at ragandbone.ca. Coming up next is Episode 6, The Mare Blue Bog Body. A sensational discovery could be a perfectly preserved 3,000-year-old mummy, but Mabel suspects more recent foul play.